Wings.
Dork Words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 4, Episode 7.
Mock.
Yeah.
Peen.
Yeah.
Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast we do. I'm your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are...
Craig McCauley.
Mike Herger.
Chris Voorhees.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hi, Chuck.
Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a couple days.
What, like 3 days?
Yes.
Let's keep getting behind. This is good. I'll see you more often.
It doesn't work that way. Unless we podcast more shows.
Ooh.
We do have No Shit Sherlock to queue up here pretty soon.
No Shit Sherlock Thursdays?
On the Z.
On the Z.
We do have next Sunday free from a GOT.
Is there any, what's a Memorial Day movie that's coming out? Anything? Anything big? X-Men? Does
X-Men,
that come out?
Days of Future Past.
Oh, does that come out already?
It's a big screen adaptation of shit that I read in high school.
Well,
perfect.
That's the tagline.
Shit that Chuck read in high school. Coming to a
realize
theater near
shit
you.
Chuck reads.
That
it's kind of catchy.
You got
right?
something there.
I'll do it.
You'll read a shit.
Like reading, like tea leaves?
Yeah.
Step inside my hut. Allow me to read your shit.
Welcome back, everyone. Yeah. I'm your host, Chuck Davis.
I have something to say about this episode. For
yes.
the
say
first,
it.
The, for the first over two-thirds of the episode, I thought, oh, this is the episode where everyone acts exactly the fucking opposite of everything they've ever done before. Time after time after time, probably the first five or six important scenes, I... popped into my head like, this is not what that character would do. This is so someone's being empathetic that's normally completely callous, and someone's being real spunky that's normally contained. It really threw me off, just the way things were put together. I wish I had an example for you.
It was opposite day in Westeros.
Right.
Well, the Hound getting weepy about his big brother,
that was one of them.
Burning him was a big one. That was after Biter bit him, and Rorge just stood there and let Arya
knife him in the heart.
I think we had three buddy cop things this episode. I mean, on the third one, I was like, fuck. Like,
right, we got the Hound and Arya. Mm-hmm. We've got
Pod and Brienne.
And Sansa and Peter.
Sansa and Robin.
Robin was way more palatable.
It's a bad day to be an Aaron.
I mean, originally, it was just off. It was off.
Yeah, and that kid's grown up, too. He's already kind of...
But he's still at the teat.
Lucky him.
He's still pretty snivelly. He pulls snivelly off.
But he didn't fall into his tremors like he does.
Right, the shaking sickness.
He was just impertinent and stupid.
You're stupid.
But not quite pathetic enough.
Yeah, agreed.
He was too put together in his conversation.
Yeah.
We're going to get married. I know what that means. No. This kid doesn't know shit.
Why doesn't this thing have a moon door in it? That's all I do is throw things out the moon door. Yeah.
Make them fly, mommy.
And whoever's the sink, they're the snow castle.
Way, too small.
Way too small. It was very elaborate in the books.
The only
mentioned it. I imagine it like literally taking up the whole courtyard, and this was like tiny.
Yep.
Well, they blew their CGI budget last episode of that dragon,
coloring Sansa's hair.
We had our buddy Phil, who used to podcast his girlfriend Paula, was here, and she's like, "Did they artificially color her hair? Did they CGI
they totally
her hair?"
Did.
And I didn't want to be like. Yeah, I noticed that too. But I noticed that too. But I was like, "Oh, what a girl thing to say." But I'm secretly thinking, "Yeah, that's what I thought." It does look fake.
It was like glowing red.
Yeah.
And she was
next
outside
time I see a girl who has her hair dye, I'll be like, "Did you CGI your hair?" CGI brand hair dye.
So no Marillion. Wasn't who are they going to blame the death on? Right? Doesn't that leave them a little bit of an issue here?
It looked like they were asking him some questions. Like Sansa was, there was some sort of, what happened? How'd she fall out the window for the next week?
Oh, right. That was my big question. You know, so Marillion, the singer, right, was on the scene as like the scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
Like Peter
knocks her
out.
He
says, oh,
and blames,
looks like
Marillion.
My fool has pushed my lady wife out the moon door, basically.
Yeah, there's nobody left to take the fall.
Yeah, it's just he and Sansa standing there. How are they going to explain that one away? Ooh, she tripped.
They just needed like another random body to push out the window, too.
Well, she was just standing there looking out the moon door like a crazy person, and then she slipped and fell. I mean, that's...
Should I suppose I'd buy that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone is going to miss her, so any cover story will fit, probably. Except for all the other suitors.
The poor lady slipped and fell.
You do an eerily effective little finger.
Well, thank you.
Luckily, there's no moon door behind you, Chuck, or Craig might be shoving you out.
What happened first?
We have the Tyrion and what's his brother? Jaime.
Tyrion and Jaime. Talking
about
to the mountain, hacking peasants out in the courtyard. And what the hell is he doing? He's like, he's out there chopping firewood, but
I think that's...
They're small folk.
Yeah.
That was a stupid scene.
Yeah, what the heck was going on? She's just walking through the blood and guts. And
in case you forgot who the mountain was, he's just...
It's a different actor, so maybe you did forget or don't recognize or something.
Yeah, it's only been 3.5 seasons since he was on the screen.
Yep.
But he's a guy who just kills people for fun, so I guess we have to show him doing that just to bring people up to speed.
Yeah, I mean...
But we have to show like Lannister men at arms assisting him in this. Like,
where were they? They were escorting Cersei,
who stepped over. Was that some entrails I saw her casually strolling mm-hmm. over?
Yeah, yep. Believe I spied a long intestine.
Hmm.
The Jaime Tyrion conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had sadness.
I mean, do we kind of get
failure
that?
And sadness.
Well, I mean, Tyrion's kind of like, I spited father, and you know, wouldn't it be great if you were my champion and we both just you got killed, and then
I mean, he's also tongue in cheek. Well. He was kidding, right? But he was kind of looking like
right.
I mean, we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this.
First of, do you really think that he thought Jaime was gonna be his champion last week when he basically came
apparently,
out and said
he's acting like yes.
That's what he was counting on.
Yeah. It seemed like it.
So maybe his gambit wasn't so much that that he thought Jaime could win the fight, but more that Tywin would throw it in Jaime's favor if Jaime was in the fight.
Right.
But he didn't come out and say it, and I feel like if that was what they were trying to imply, the show wouldn't be subtle enough to let you think that. So Jaime's like, yeah, I guess I could risk my life to save you. I'm almost tempted to. And Bronn kind of said the same thing. Just like,
yeah. What do you think would have happened if like in the books, if it had been written that Jaime was was Tyrion's champion? That would have been interesting.
What would have happened?
Well, it wouldn't have been much of a champion without the right hand. So
they would. So Cersei would have been forced to pick a ringer, or well, Tywin, I suppose, would have picked the champion, or
pick somebody Jaime could
actually
kill.
Did Cersei pick?
It sounds like she
did. Cersei pick somehow.
The minute Jaime got offered Casterly Rock because of his either inadequacies or Tywin's not wanting him to be part of the Kingsguard, he should have been like, "Mic drop, fuck this shit, I'm out of here. Let's do this. Go back, retire, get back to the castle, get a queen, hot queen,
But
that's not really
he's been
him.
Denying it the whole time. It's not like it's a big surprise to him.
He
it's
still,
been his
what
all
would
along.
You, what would you do?
Oh, I'd take the gold.
Head back to the rock.
Hang out.
He has pride. I mean,
he just wants to be near his
sister. He only joined
his
sweet
sister. Not anymore, though. He was never this nice at Tyrion at all before until he... Now he's friends with the laughingstock of the Lannister family because he's also
rejected,
dejected.
But Tyrion, I mean, it never takes place in the span of time that the show covers, or the books for that matter. But from the very beginning, Tyrion and Jaime have fond childhood memories of one another.
Yeah.
Like they tell you that they loved each other, but there's few opportunities for them to show it until this series of events. Because it's the first chapter of the whole series, when all the characters are introduced, is almost the last time you see Tyrion and Jaime together until they meet
beginning
in Tyrion's cell.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Read into that what you will. But they're both greatly changed by the time they have that reunion.
Tyrion's not changed. He's had life events, but he's not materially different.
He's loved
different.
And lost.
Is there something you want to add?
Knows.
But not really. Fucking TV.
Yeah.
God. The books were better.
Grr.
Should we close up shop? Go back to booking? Book it.
Bookcast.
Turn the mixer dark.
We could bookcast.
Is that a thing? Do people do that?
Yeah, you just read to us.
Sure.
It's easy.
Yeah.
We interrupt you nonstop.
It's a copyright violation of the audiobooks. With built-in commentary, that's how we...
I would be so honored to get a cease and desist from George R. R. Martin. Oh, that would be something.
Yeah. There we go. So we're going to do a MST3K version of Game of Thrones. So one of us will just sit here reading the book. And
we kind of do sometimes.
And the rest of us will crack wise.
I like it.
What else? What are the scenes?
Melisandre's teats.
We'll just call it that.
Well, I guess what was before that?
The name of the episode.
Oh, right before that was Daenerys's teats? No. We have clearance for Melisandre's teats, but no
fucking
Danny
Dario
teats.
Naharis again. Well, still not right, not convincing, not...
At least the two of them were interacting, you know...
But they've been flat
with
the entire
their genitalia.
Time. And then she suddenly just regresses into childish whatever.
Take off your pants.
He's not cocky and cocksure and...
And they didn't show his cock. So that, too.
Well... He showed it to her.
They never showed
and
it.
She got the sleepy eyes. Like, I'm
yeah,
luxuriating.
She's been trying to hide those pubes. Sleepy eyes for a couple episodes now. Every time he brings a ship or a flower.
A ship?
Yeah.
A flower? Yeah.
I swam to an island a mile away and got right. Pretty flowers. Cool. Fuck you, dude. God.
I sent you
well,
an
she wasn't
terrible.
Having that either.
Yeah.
I sent you an e-flower. Katie said that earlier. It's like the medieval version of the...
FTD?
Yeah.
You said
you love ships. I brought you a fleet.
Oh, he said something really that I feel like she should have... No. Hang on. I'm doing it wrong. Oh, Bronn said, not sorry to change it up, but Bronn said, well, Lawless's older sister might fall off a horse or something. Mm-hmm. No big deal. That's not very noble. It's not.
Bronn's not a very noble guy.
No, Bronn, that was too much.
Sellsword.
That was too much. That rubbed me the wrong way.
But that's from the book, though.
Well, I don't care.
That's
well,
that's true to Bronn.
Oh, well, never mind. That's fine then.
That actually, I was pretty happy with the whole Bronn exchange.
It was good. I don't know. That one tripped me up.
It was pretty legit.
I like myself
that one pretty much
a little more than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that played out exactly as kind of I expected. And Bronn said it all along that, I mean, that was their joke. If someone's going to buy him off, he'll, you know, the only thing Tyrion can do is double the price, right? He knows.
And he did come in with more noble dress and the whole thing. Yeah, that was right? Good. That was good.
But he also did express genuine affection for Tyrion.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the reverse.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where he's like, well, you know, I've put my life on the line for you. When have you ever done it for me? And Tyrion's kind of like, yep, 'twas a good scene. A lot of scenes in the old Tyrion cell today.
Three visitations.
Yeah. I mean, how many does he get per day here? Jeez.
The Oberyn one, though, was great. The whole story of Tyrion's being an infant and he and Illyria visiting as youngsters.
Elia.
Why do I keep getting that wrong? Ilaria is his current girlfriend, right?
Maybe.
Something.
Whatever she is. Elia was his sister.
Elia was his sister.
Yeah.
Allegedly raped and murdered by the mountain.
Right.
Tossed against a wall.
Is that what happened to her?
The youngers were broken against the infant baby wall.
Was supposedly. Mm-hmm.
Baby was smashed. Except, well, there's mystery around all that.
You say allegedly.
And there's some stuff that maybe comes out later that's related to that, that we'll see if that is said, what exactly happened from the mountain's point of view.
Oh, yeah. That could be next episode.
Could be. The order of things may be different.
So Oberyn's talking to Tyrion, was one of the things where I said, oh, this is just so out of character. But then that scene got real good, real fast. That guy's great. Oberyn's guy just delivers every time.
Yeah.
Like when he got vengeful talking to Tyrion,
mm-hmm.
I was like, this is the guy that should have played Khan in Star Trek Into Darkness.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
He was like that vengeance and that Spanish tongue and just I mean he was like the
his dreamy Spanish tongue
spiritual successor to
he tasks
Rick.
Yeah, he tasks
him.
And he will have him.
I want to reshoot that movie just to see him in that role.
We can Photoshop that in.
God damn, we should. But yeah, he was great. I mean, we were praising Oberyn last week, but this was his
fantastic.
And I thought that scene was fairly. I mean, that wasn't Tyrion initiated in the books either, right? Oberyn comes to Tyrion thinking, now's my chance.
Tyrion, I think it was in the books. Tyrion did go, Jaime, Bronn, I'm fucked. Hey, and then you saved me out of the blue.
Right.
So that's all pretty true to.
I mean, but I guess in the conversation that they had, you don't get that Oberyn's really like, I believe you're innocent. Like,
oh no.
Which you do get in the book. Like, he's like, no, I don't think you did it.
He doesn't care about that in this. He just cares about vengeance, right?
But yeah, in the book, he's like, that's one of the reasons that he agrees to do it, I think, is it's not all vengeance in the book. I mean, there's that aspect, but that's probably his driving force still.
Mike's very recently read, I think, on this, so I will defer to him, right? I mean, how long ago did you read this?
Like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I always got, totally in the show, you at least get the feeling that he would defend Tyrion whether he thought he was guilty or not,
because right.
He hates Lannisters. But.
So, like, in the book, there's kind of more of a thing where the whole time he's at King's Landing, he's kind of always needling the Lannisters to, why don't you produce the fucking mountain?
I
want to see the mountain.
Which they've done.
So the mountain, and I think Tywin even purposefully says, keep the mountain as fucking far away from King's Landing as possible.
Right.
And then Cersei defies him by says, I want the mountain to be my champion.
That's right. And that's a big deal in the book. Like, Tywin's all bent out of shape about that for some reason.
Isn't he always about everything?
Yeah, I suppose.
But that's what I want to say that, yeah, that was a point of contention.
Yeah.
That, to me, seems like it was a thing that made Oberyn sort of leap into action. He's like, ah, here's my chance.
Right.
And I guess I'll save this dwarf in the process.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad for him ever since I saw his tiny cock get pinched by a bitch of a sister. Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't want to jump in and save him? Cersei, you can just totally see Cersei pinching his little midget cock. Midget infant cock.
It's a brutal.
Come on, say it with me, Craig.
Midget infant cock.
If you say it three times in the mirror in the bathroom, Candyman appears.
I was doing more either the power of Christ compels us, take, what's the Wizard of Oz? Click, click, click.
Click, click,
there's
bang,
no
bang.
Place like home.
What's that? There's no place like home. Right. There's no place like home. Tiny infant midget cock.
Tiny infant midget cock.
Power of Christ compels us.
the term midget doesn't exist in Westeros.
That's a great scene for Tyrion because, you know, it pretty much sums up his whole life.
And yet
he's seeing this guy that everyone else in the West, in all the kingdoms, kind of look down on because, you know, everybody looks
see
down
his hurt
on Dorne. But he's like,
when Oberyn,
there's no monster. He's just a baby. Yeah.
When right. Oberyn describes it, it's just Tyrion's.
Yeah.
Just, oh,
right. Fuck. Yeah. And then he reveals, I'm going to
They're
be
really
a
assuming
champion.
An age gap that I didn't with these. Like, first of all, well, Cersei's older than Tyrion.
Right.
Obviously, quote, obviously, I guess.
Yeah.
Old enough.
Yeah. Old enough to pinch a cock.
To pinch a cock. But.
Well, it is a midget cock, so.
Old enough to pinch a cock, old enough for me. That's not how it goes. That's not how it goes. And then Oberyn is supposedly enough older than Tyrion as well.
It was the first time he had left Dorne.
Yeah,
right.
So,
youngster.
So young.
Yeah, 10? 10-ish?
Yeah.
Probably.
Makes me
what
wonder.
Time, sorry, never mind.
Would they believe? Would they remember all that?
What time did Sean Connery get to Wimbledon?
What? I don't get the reference.
10-ish.
10-ish.
Oh.
I think I've even done that joke on this podcast before.
So. Well, I don't listen to it. Maybe.
I'm sorry. you were going to say a thing, and then I ruined it with a bad joke.
Nope.
Is it time to whine about lack of action in Slaver's Bay yet? Again, there's just nothing happening over there.
But, dude, it's too early to be bitching about that. We have a whole season and a half of bitching about that.
I think he could bitch about pacing. That's okay.
It's, yeah.
I don't know.
So what are they doing? So did they send the Second Sons back to Yunkai in the books?
I don't think so.
Where are, and?
Yes.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Did they?
They did. But I want to say they did it because Daenerys felt like if she kept Dario around her too much longer, she was going to jump his bones. So she had to get him out of town. To just stay her own carnal passions.
Yeah, but where did they send him?
I believe the Yunkai thing. But Jorah, I think Jorah was out of the picture by now, because remember we recollected someone said that when they took Meereen, she sent him into the sewers as penance for the revelation she learned from Ser Barristan that he had been selling her out to the Small Council the whole time.
Right.
And after they took the town, he like threw herself on her mercy, and she said, "No, I can't stand to see, look at you anymore. Get the fuck out of here."
Right. She said.
But this episode is polar opposite of that. Yeah. She's rewarding him for being her conscience.
Yeah.
And she still has no idea that he did anything bad. Even I thought when he mentioned the thing about I used to sell slaves, that she was going to like fly off the handle. Like that would be the TV show's excuse for her.
Yeah,
to
everyone's
fly off the
just
handle.
Being the opposite of what they really are.
But I think they're going to. There's some obviously going to happen with the conversation from the episode before at the small council meeting in King's Landing, where they were like, "What are we going to do about this Daenerys chick with her three dragons?" So I think they're going to. Do something with that. And
they did.
Jorah's...
They did at least mention in that Jorah had been reporting.
Right.
So they refreshed the concept, which the show is wont to do. At least I don't know if you pay attention to the previously on Game of Thrones scenes.
They have the ability, fortunately for them, of refreshing any past not addressed storyline from any number of seasons ago in 10 seconds. They can just
seeing Rorge and Biter. Briefly,
right?
It was like, oh, well, Rorge and Biter are back this week.
Where the
but
fuck
I had
did
no
he pop
idea
up
they'd
from?
Be dispatched so,
yeah.
The fact that the two of them are like,
Biter was in a scene for like 4 seconds, jumps on the Hound.
I'm
cracked.
100% certain that it wasn't even the same actor.
Right?
It was just a stunt man with a growl.
A stunt Biter.
A stunt man who still had teeth.
I feel like we're catching up to the books in a lot of the ways. Like not with any of the stuff happening in King's Landing, and not with anything that's happening at the Wall. But okay.
I mean, what do you think about the Wall stuff? I mean, it was kind of a short.
Well, Ghost is back.
They have a kind of a after the raid party on Craster's meeting,
very briefly, and Sir Alistair comes out just to say, "Put your dog away."
Yeah. Well, then they have the.
Just
to
remind you, I'm still a dick.
Seal off the tunnel.
Okay, John says the thing about, we saw how far away Mance's troops were on our way back from Craster's, and they're going to be here in a few days, so why don't we seal the tunnel once and for all? That was kind of important because giants can break through it if they don't seal it. That's an important point of sorts. But I don't really feel like the show established giants well enough. Did we even see
throwing posts into the ground or something, like pounding them in with their fists
for a second? For a second, yeah, he was just pounding a stake into the ground.
Like a, I mean, a stake like, I
like
don't know.
A tree trunk.
Yeah, a yeah. tree trunk.
Yeah,
like just 20 for feet a second. High.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God, it's just a, another example of how somehow on the show there's just they're telling too big of a story.
Yeah.
I mean, that one thing that was like 12 episodes ago, I don't remember it. And I podcast about this show. I talk about it more than anybody.
You've read the books.
I've read the books yeah. three times, and I talk about it with you guys constantly, and I can't remember shit that happened on the show. So how can your average, you know, John Q public...
They might rely
John
a little...
Q, John Q idiot who John, can't John remember Q, anything subscriber. From last week.
They might rely a little too heavily on... Previously on Game of Thrones,
the thing. But if you watch it on to. HBO Go, you don't even get those. So
right,
you're like,
right.
But maybe I mean for a binge viewer, I guess yeah. maybe it's just you got to be a binge viewer.
Well, you can't.
And
nobody...
you got to take a week off of work and just power through it.
Well, you can't just watch an episode of this show once in a while, mm-mm. right? I mean, you pretty much have to watch it from the beginning of season one.
Yeah, all the stuff at the wall has moved too slowly this season, I think.
Pacing-wise, I mean, I think we figured it out that they want stuff to come to a head oh. for a
cliff-hanging
yeah. season finale.
Ending.
You guys can't see the ASL that's going on
yeah.
here, but it's happened.
I think it's official. Well, so what do we think of the whole Hound, Arya? Well, we got the attack, and then... He bitches about getting burned.
Another little recap of the Hound's tragic childhood.
I mean, the Hound was pathetic this episode. I mean,
yeah,
just
it really was.
Another
whiny.
Another of my like thing that was like, oh, this is just so not right. I'm not saying that they're not depicting the book. You know, if all these things happened and everyone was acting kind of out of character, it was just maybe bad timing or somebody I feel like should have been. Unless this was that sort of episode where. We're going to do that sort of thing. But
yeah.
Everyone was just all over the board.
And what was... I know there was a scene where they kill a farmer or something on the side of the road, but why? And
which one?
Whole, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess the scene in this week's episode just seemed sort of pointless.
So this... It was the hardening of Arya, again. The continued hardening of her. And
There was a point to it.
I mean, her conversation with the guy that was already stabbed was kind of... You could tell that her mentality had changed.
Two big things were accomplished. Well, so, yeah, the farmer's dying. They kill him out of mercy. The guy's got a wound from which he cannot heal, and the logical thing to do is to kill him to end his suffering.
The Hound was merciful for the first time. For the first time.
The Hound was merciful. Mm.
But Arya's, she talks about, well, nothing's
well,
not worse
not,
than...
That's not true. The Hound's saved Sansa in the past from being...
That's true.
But the Hound, he's shown some mercy.
Yeah, I guess.
The Hound had a major soft spot for Sansa.
His little bird.
Everything's relative, but okay.
Well, the Hound was in love with her.
Yeah.
He didn't... Did he ever do the drunken kiss on the show that
no,
he did in the book?
No,
that's too
no.
bad.
That's not... I think it's funny that you say for a character like his, he kissed her because he was in love. Maybe that
well,
was conveyed...
Oh, I don't know. You know, that's maybe just my own romantic heart longing
oh, hey,
for...
Hey, oh,
Chuck,
you.
Longing for the Hound?
longing for those
you
two
are, you are truly
star-crossed
romantic.
Lovers to get together.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I gotta go, you guys.
You can cut that out if you want.
Oh, God.
Allison doesn't listen to the podcast.
That shit wrote itself.
She doesn't
Come
even
on.
Watch the show anymore because I won't watch it with her.
Okay. Well, that's romantic. Kind of. I won't do it without you.
Tragic romance.
Star-crossed lovers.
I was just going to say that.
No, I think there's a major contingent of reader that want and expect Sansa and the Hound to get together in the long run.
Really?
Because they
Is this your own fanfic?
No, I think it's a thing. I think that's a thing.
Okay.
Because nobody else really...
Speaking of star-crossed lovers.
Well, I mean, I guess...
I mean, well...
You don't want... Because, I mean, who else who has ever, you know, been close to Sansa is worthy of love?
Why does it have to be someone that's been close to her? Oh, we're getting way off topic
okay.
here. Come on.
I'm sure that Grey Worm
will
make an excellent...
Who is worthy of Sansa's love?
God, anyone. Yeah. She's terrible.
Do you know how much they spent on coloring her hair?
Okay, so we see that...
She has a natural blonde, I think.
Only one way to find out. High five me. Look on IMDb.
Okay, so they kill the farmer, but then the hound gets bitten, because he has to... Because, well, some of us
That's
know...
That's what happens in the book.
He has
a walking bag of silver.
He doesn't get bitten by biter.
No, but he would have gotten bit back when they were at the inn. It's when he should have gotten
bitten. Rorge and Biter had a greater impact on events in the Riverlands in the books than they did on the show, obviously. Because Arya forgot the dude's name.
Right.
And she knew all about him. I mean, the Rorge in the books, Arya... Rorge... Was Rorge in the litany?
No, I don't think so.
She didn't directly wrong him. She just grossed him out and stuff. But as, anyway, the hound is wounded, and he refuses to cauterize the wound, so it doesn't take a genius to figure out... I mean, look what happened to Khal Drogo.
Right, that's how he died. I was just going to say that. This man who is seemingly invincible, he just, oops, got a little, now I'm dead.
Telling you, viewers, be worried about where things are going with the hound. I mean, Arya knows where the heart is now, so she doesn't really need the hound anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
She's ready.
Is he hardening her?
Did she do a quick draw on Rorge, or was he just fucking dumbfounded?
Every show. Stylized fighting never is right. Is never right.
Yeah.
People hesitate, like, raise up the sword and then just wait for too long, or just don't do anything. Especially in this show, they don't do anything. Someone's about to, pulls out a sword, advances on them, they hold their weapon, yeah. Like, what? Oh, I got stabbed.
What's my motivation in this?
And then she barely poked him.
He died awful fast. Right in the heart.
You know all those kung fu movies that are a little more modern and where people take the tactical part of it more seriously, and everyone's like, "You got to watch this movie." And I'm just like, I don't care. I'm so interested. Now I think I want to watch those, so I can just be like, "Yes, that's exactly how something might happen." Yeah, this is just for this dumbed down. It's all dumbed down.
Well, it's a fantasy show. You got to suspend your disbelief in myriads. Different ways.
True.
Whether it be CGI colored hair or poorly plotted scenes or bad stunt work or budgetary
restrictions.
Remember that one scene with the hound when he was fighting the guys?
He smashed him in the eye?
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I particularly was like, oh, that seemed more realistic than other things. So it's possible.
We saw Hot Pie again, guys.
Yeah. The return of Hot Pie.
What did you think of Brienne's kind of sick burn against Pod? Like, what did I say?
Look, honesty is the best policy.
Yep.
That's interesting. So we speculated how much of Brienne and Pod wandering aimlessly looking for Stark girls are we going to see on this show? Because we saw a whole book's worth of it in A Feast for Crows, and they didn't get a good lead to anything, I don't think.
Right.
But here, on their first stop, they get a solid lead. Right. And it's like, let's go to the Eyrie. It took them all of A Feast for Crows to come to that conclusion, right? Or did they ever come to that conclusion?
I don't think they ever did, though.
Well,
I know that
the writers... The writers probably sympathize with what Chuck just said, and they're like, we can't do this.
Let's cut to the chase.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, the hound.
Well, I think the hound at some point in the books figures that one or the other of the Stark sisters might have ended up at the Eyrie. But Brienne? Recall Brienne never...
Brienne and Pod
think about
wandering around hasn't even happened yet. That doesn't happen until the... So you're right. So the TV show is... Ahead of
leapfrogging many, many chapters of drudgery.
That's what I have to look forward to.
Seeing Hot Pie just felt like, I don't know, bizarre.
Convenient.
It brought convenient. Back warm fuzzies for you.
Well, it was stupid in a lot of ways, but Hot Pie is stupid, so you can allow for that. But so
I liked Hot Pie a lot better in the books. He seemed to be like funnier.
Hot Pie was dopey, but he wasn't. A moron.
I don't think it's a terrible depiction.
No, it's all right. But I mean, so he gives her the liver kidney pie or whatever it is, and she's eating it. And then when he like gets uncomfortable, he's like, "Can I get you some more of that?" Well, like she's had three bites out of a full pie. Like, how's he going to get her more pie? Give her a whole other pie?
He had to say something.
Yeah, but he's an idiot. No, but so I would have thought
it's all about the gravy, Chuck. Don't worry.
Brienne got a solid lead from him when he started squirming when she brought up the idea of Starks. Do you know any Starks? And he's like, No. We don't. Not I've seen no Starks around here. They're traitors.
Yeah.
We don't deal with them. So she should have, like, Inspector Brienne should have been like, he squirmed a little too much when I asked him that. But dumbass TV Brienne is just kind of like, well, all right. I'll just keep eating this pie and we'll just
time to
walk
shove
out
off.
And yeah. So it's only because Hot Pie, out of the goodness of his heart, decided to give her a wolf cookie.
Say wolf cookie again.
Wolf cookie.
Wolf cookie.
Wolf
yeah.
cookie.
Yeah. Pod is just too...
I'd say Hot Pie really redeemed himself with the wolf cookie because, in my opinion, the kidney pie crust didn't look very flaky.
Did you see the fork go in and it was just kind of like
that wolf
broke
was
like a
mushy.
Cracker.
What about the wolf though?
The wolf cookie, like I said,
remember
Hot
his
Pie
first one he gave her?
With the
it
wolf
was
cookie.
Like a, it didn't look good.
Like a burnt.
That's a bad wolf
a burnt,
cookie.
Yeah, a burnt cat.
Hot Pie's had an opportunity to refine his craft.
And has he?
Yes. Mm. He needs
what,
to work on
that
the
he
pie
could.
Crust though.
What that he did?
What he did?
I thought we might have seen Gendry there.
Gendry? Well, Gendry's off on somewhere on
with
a boat.
The Brotherhood.
He's on a boat.
No, yeah, we don't know what he's happened to him.
Oh, yeah.
Did Davos send Gendry off
yes,
in a boat because
yes.
he was afraid Melisandre was going to
yes.
kill
oh,
him?
We didn't really talk about that scene. Melisandre's
Melisandre and Stannis' wife. What the hell's her name?
You're right. no one ever committed to memory.
I was just looking at her.
It's just flesh. Don't worry that yeah. your
so,
husband
Selyse?
Really wants
Selyse,
me and
or
not
is that
you.
The daughter?
That's part of the daughter's name.
Something Reen is the daughter's name.
Yeah,
Shireen. Shireen is the daughter. Yeah. Selyse is the wife.
Is that the wife?
Is
I apologize. So we got the...
Damn you.
I like the vertical pan where we're to assume
it's
that a character is looking at another character fondly because they're looking him up and down. So is there a thing? She respects the Red Woman.
Between Selyse and the Red Woman?
She respects the Red Woman. Does she also long for...
Well, she hasn't been with
Stannis. Well,
this
is HBO, so I suppose it's possible.
She did seem
to looking at that.
Enjoy her stolen glances.
So what did we think where about that scene? What was the point other than...
The point
are
of
they,
it...
Are they foreshadowing that they're going to sacrifice Stannis' daughter?
Oh, yeah. She has to come, she said. She has
you
to
have
come
to, you have to
she
wonder.
She must come.
R'hllor commands it.
Don't touch that other vial, though. It'll kill you.
Don't touch that other vial. We'll be right back.
And is she? And that was pretty frank for the Red Woman. I mean, she never just up and talks about how her stuff is subterfuge.
Here's
exactly.
how we fuck people
it's,
up.
Right.
Know,
this is a big
little bit
fake
of this,
out,
little bit of that.
Right.
You know.
Did you use that on Stannis?
She never drops out of the mysterious.
Oh, yeah. Especially not to
character.
That particular like in the bag devotee.
Right.
It makes me think.
So what's going on?
It makes me think she's going to kill her.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that in movies and TV when people are about to.
They reveal
when they
all
reveal
the bad
secrets,
guy reveals all
right.
the stuff to
and
him,
they
you
just
know
fucking
he's going to kill him.
Run, but this would have been the episode to do it, though. So,
yeah, but again, shockingly, nothing happened.
Well, I think it's important to know that Melisandre and Selyse are packing for a sea voyage. I mean, that's crucial. Crucial information. No, I think that Lady...
Are they going north?
Lady Selyse has some key things that she's going to do in this story, so we needed to be reintroduced to her character.
Yeah.
And we had to be reminded that Melisandre had great tits.
Yeah, we had to.
She's got small nipples.
Small nipples. Selyse
got...
You know, from,
she was definitely had some screen time, so...
I think it's just one of those things where it's like, who hasn't had enough screen time yet this season, and who...
Melisandre's tits.
Agreed.
Definitely get some more screen time.
I think those were just playing proxy for Daenerys' tits, which we will never see again.
Daenerys' tits. Yeah. They
she signed a release.
Not only do they not have the budget for more CGI dragons...
Chuck just rereads...
But they don't have the budget for
CGI
tits.
Chuck just rereads the part where she has the half shirt on.
Yeah.
Just rereads that part. Just rereads
so over
the
over
whole
again.
Time she's in Korth, she's
Korn half shirt,
one bare breast.
Half shirt.
That's what I'll, that'll be my Halloween costume.
Everyone.
Except it will mean nothing.
To I'm not going to Halloween.
You're call, you've call, you can't not go. It's a day. Everyone, oh, you're going to be dead? Oh, man.
We're everyone's all, got a favorite.
You guys.
Listen, we know Daenerys.
If you guys can talk your wives and or girlfriends into coming with half-covered Myrinese gowns and you guys can dress up like slave masters, that would be sweet.
Now we're talking.
I would definitely show up.
With a camera.
Chuck Spader's is Daenerys. I like Miss Sandy, actually. Who's your favorite?
Oh. Let's talk the hot bitch as a Westeros.
Just for like 30 seconds, and then let's not. And you can cut it out if you want.
She's dead now, I suppose, but I thought Doria, the original, was awful cute.
Oh, yeah.
The first hand, the one that, you know,
the handmaiden,
the one that
who
taught Daenerys.
Oh, yeah. In the books,
everything
she
not learned in the pleasure palaces of Leeds.
Dark hair, real.
Yeah, yeah, she ran. Yeah, she was hot.
When are we going to see Sansa Stark naked?
Oh, okay.
Oh, here we go. Still waiting for that?
Here we go. No.
She's
too asexual. She's not. Nah,
she's
I don't
too
see her naked.
Innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Innocent.
Mike's like, yeah.
Oh. Not. Otherwise, it's Melisandre.
Oh, wow. That's a whole different type altogether.
Is it?
Well, both redheads.
He wants to see
them
together.
Yeah, it's got to be Yara. Yeah. Oh, she's hot. Yara.
Yara was hot in the book.
She's supposed to be.
How can there be someone here right now? Why?
It's Rob.
Well, tell him to get in here, I guess.
I'm not the important one. Oh,
that's good. I was worried.
Someone's
for a
more important.
Hey, way to fucking ruin everything.
Hey, who wants to say something about Game of Thrones to wrap up our podcast?
I haven't watched the newest stuff yet, and I can't hear myself at all. Oh yeah, there we go.
There you go.
So it's a good concept. There's a lot of boobs. I like that.
We've covered that. Covered the boobs.
Yeah, you just missed our whole conversation about boobs.
There's blood. I like the blood. That's a good part. Dragons. We determined earlier that non-flying dragons are actually just lizards. We were talking about that on the way here. Big fan.
Big fan.
I'm actually looking forward to listening to this podcast now because it'll probably be the most exciting one I've heard.
Oh, no, because
I'm on it.
Right.
Right.
We know how you roll.
Right.
Remember the exact moment he said that. 30 seconds from the end.
So it's time to drink beer.
All right.
Wait, you haven't been drinking already?
Rob, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, you got it. Apparently Chuck's out.